Go to James chapter 1. And y'all know this. I know you know this verse. Would you like to pray for us, Cindy?
Jesus, we just thank you for being here for us, Father. Jesus, we ask that you come and you speak to Mark, Lord, and let him speak your words, Father. They're not his words, but your words, Father. We ask for a blessing on this message. We ask for it to touch our hearts and our souls. And Lord, we ask for healing today in this church. Father, we just ask you to be here, all your miracles and signs and wonders, Father. We love you, Lord. We love you, and we lift this to you. This is only for you, Lord. Thank you for being here for us, Father. Thank you for your mercy and grace in Jesus' name.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, God is, we went to some meetings here a couple of weeks ago, and just, I really got encouraged in the Lord. And wasn't like any new revelations or new mandates. It wasn't like that at all. It was time to go back and pick up what God's already showed you to do and finish it and get courage to finish it. And I know he's given a lot of us mandates from heaven. And I know he's given his church mandates from heaven. The Four Winds, Greenville, Indiana. God, you know, we have not taken Greenville, Indiana. And it's time. God showed me it is time. I'm not talking about taking people out of other churches in Greenville. I'm talking about the multitudes that are lost. There's plenty of people to fill up every church in this whole region. So it's not about that at all. But God has, you know, when we moved in here, God told us to go to the town board meeting and talk to the town board and asked them to annex us into Greenville because we weren't officially in the Greenville city limits. Now, how many of y'all know nobody ever asks a town to annex them? You don't. You usually try to avoid it. You'll protest it. You'll sign petitions why you don't have to do it. But God told us to annex Greenville annex us, and they did. And they made me the guy that opens up prayer over the meetings, which you go, well, that's just a thing. And sometimes it's like on Monday nights once a month, it's like, you know what? I really would just soon not go up here tonight because it's kind of boring sometimes, and it's not always, most of the time it's not exciting at all. But if he's made us a part of his kingdom in Greenville, Indiana, he wants us to be involved in it. And when we pray as a church, and I go up there and pray, the whole backing of this church is behind that prayer. So when we say, Lord Jesus, maybe I'll pray something like, Lord Jesus, give them wisdom to rule this town righteously. And Lord Jesus, God, we claim Greenville, Indiana as Revival Town USA. Now, I've prayed that before, and I get up and they're kind of like, whatever, you know, we know what Greenville is. But God wants to move in Greenville, Indiana. I was looking out my window the other day. Of course, I mow the yard. You know, it's just about one more time, I think, and it's all over here. But as I mow, I was looking out the window the other day. It said, there's a verse in the Bible, and I think it's in Proverbs, but it said, as I looked out the window, I saw the field of a slothful man, and I considered it well. And it says the fences were broken down and the wild animals were running in and out of this once beautiful place. And I looked down there at that house, that white house in front of this church used to own all these land and all these big houses on top of the hill. And I thought, I considered it well. I said, God, this ain't right. That this thing is all grown up. And so we started making demand that God would give us that house and 3 acres. Now, what do we need that for? The kingdom. And we bless that person that owns it, too, in Jesus' name. But God, I believe God wants to clean up things and fix things that need to be healed, doesn't he? I mean, he does it to people, but when you look around and you see things that aren't right in the physical, like houses and lands, and when you see that, you know, when you look at our country and see different things going on, and you go, man, it's like the walls, the hedge of protection's been taken down. And that's true, but God wants to build it back up. God wants to make America the place. Well, I'm way out there. But James 1:21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save, which means to heal, preserve, do well, to make whole. The word, the implanted word that is able to save your soul. And your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's not your spirit, it's your soul. So God is able with his implanted word. What would be the implanted word of God, Jason? Love is the implanted word, part of the word. But when you ask Jesus to come into your life, if you have, if you've given Jesus your life, when you ask him in, he came in. And he is the word. And when the word comes into you, it becomes flesh. And it has a place to grow. And it has a place to prosper. But sometimes when the word comes in, we let it get stale, we let it get dull. It's like the guy that let his house, he had a beautiful house, a beautiful vineyard, and he let it all fall apart. It's the same way. The word of God can come in, but the cares of the world and other things can make it unfruitful. So this implanted word is able to make us whole, body, soul, and spirit. It said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. What? Deceiving yourself. You know, the greatest deception you can have is when you deceive yourself. Because when you deceive yourself, you're convinced you're right. Somebody else deceives you, you might have a little bit of doubt there. But when you have willfully opened up your heart to deception, you swung the doors open wide. So what he's saying here, and I don't need to explain it. He said, when you are doers of the word, you are pleasing to God. Is that what he says here? It says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. What a promise. The one that is a doer of the word of God is blessed. Hearers of the word of God only are not blessed. Oh, you might get a buzz, you might get a revelation, but you know what? If you don't put wings on it, if you don't put faith in it, if you don't do what God showed you to do, again, it's like looking in the mirror, seeing what you look like, and walking away and forgetting that image. Matthew 25, verse 1. Come here, Sarah. I'm going to use you again. You read pretty good. I've got, you can read it right off here if you want to. Go to there. Okay? No, just to him. Starting at verse 1, Matthew 25.
Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Do you want me to read that? Okay. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a shout was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him."
Thank you. The kingdom of heaven will be likened to 10 virgins. They were all virgins. Amen. But 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Now let me read you the definition of wise and foolish, okay? Because I think that's very important. From the Strong's, wise, intelligent, wise, prudent, mindful of one's interests. And foolish, and the Greek word for foolish is morose, which is, I would guess, where we got moron. I'm guessing. I don't know that. But the definition of that is dull or stupid, heedless, morally a blockhead, absurd, walking in foolishness. Those who were foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. The wise took oil in the vessels with their lamps. And at midnight, I'm going down to verse 6. At midnight, a shout was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." And you can fill this blank in with anything you want. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Behold, judgment is coming. Behold, trials are coming. Behold, things are coming into your family that you're not expecting. Behold, death is coming. You can fill in the blank with anything that happens to you in your life. You know that? You can, and you should. The wise ones were prepared for that word from heaven. They were prepared to mount up and run out and meet the bridegroom. The ones that weren't, they had to get their oil ready. And that is why the Bible says constantly, be constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one, it's just like salvation. You pray a prayer, praise the Lord, I'm saved, so I'm just going to go back to what I was. No, praise the Lord, I'm saved, God has a plan for me, God has a word for me, God has a destiny for me, and I'm going to jump in it, praise the Lord. Amen? Is that true? When you come to Jesus, when you truly come to Jesus, old things passed away. Everything has become new. At verse 13, it says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Verse 14, I want to read about the parable of the talents. And to me, I was thinking, this applies to everyone that has been born again. This applies to everyone that has given their life to Jesus. This applies to everyone who has been filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? It applies to us that know Him and us that follow Him. And I looked at this in a different way this morning because I think sometimes we just blow over Scripture sometimes and go, yeah, that's good, that's true, but how does that really apply to me? And all Scripture is good and holy, and it's for our growing, and God wants to use it to change us, doesn't He? The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So when you think, you know, you read this, sometimes you think, well, one got 5 talents and one got a couple and one only got 1 talent. So the one with 1 talent, you know, in our minds we're thinking, well, he really wasn't given much, because the Bible says to whom much is given, much is required. But you know, I did a little research on that. I looked up talent in the biblical sense. It's 200 pounds of gold. So I started ciphering the current price of gold, around $1,200 an ounce. And I multiplied 200 times 16. You know, I know math real good. And it comes out to about $4 million. So the one with 1 talent had been given now $4 million. It's a lot more than I've ever been given. Because, oh, the other guy got $8 million, and the other guy got $20 million. $4 million's still a lot. Now, I want you to wrap your head around that, see? Because the gifts of God are more precious than silver, more costly than gold, more beautiful than diamonds. The gift of God that he has given you, every one of you that believe, has been given gifts from God. Okay, would y'all agree with that? Or would you just say, I'm just like just saved and, you know, I'm just one of those just going to heaven someday and God really doesn't have a purpose for me? I don't think anybody in this house really believes that. God has given you a purpose. God has given a plan for your life. Let's read the rest of this. And remember, a talent is $4 million. He who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. So one of them was up to like $40 million and one was up to $8 million, right? But he who had received 1, oh, I've only got 1 talent. I don't have nothing for God. I can't sing on the worship team. God has not given me anything. Just 1, just 4 million. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you have delivered me 5 talents. I have gained 5 more. Well done, you good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there, you have what is yours. Here's your $4 million back. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. I never really thought of lazy as wicked, but evidently the Lord puts them in the same category, wicked and lazy. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and you gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. And I thought, you know, modestly, if you had $4 million, you could easily get 10% for it. Easily. So he could have given his Lord back $4,400,000, but he got nothing for that money. He dug a hole in the ground and buried it. Remember, he told the others, well done. What? Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Take the talent from him. This is the guy with $4 million. And give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to read you something. It's from the Gospel of Jeff Moore in the Distance. This was, y'all probably don't even know who the heck that is. You probably know who Skillet is. You might know who the Newsboys are. But this was, in fact, Jason's brother dressed up like a gorilla at Floyd Central. That was Jeff Moore in the Distance. Evolution Redefined was the name of the album. So, anyway, this song, he overheard some kids talking in a McDonald's. I guess they were stopping to get something to eat on the road. And one of the verses here said, hey, there's something I want you to know. I'm a Christian from a Christian home. I've got a Christian school, a Christian club, and got Christians I call on the phone. If people don't like it, they can just leave me alone. They said he's afraid the world's rubbing off on him when all this time I thought we should be rubbing off on them. Just get your friends and family, gather up some food, pack it in a rocket, because you might as well go to the moon. It's time, you know, it's time to take the world for Jesus. It's way past time. It's time to take back all the promises God has given you. It's way past time for that to happen. Let's stand up. I believe we're living in pivotal time right now. I believe what the church does in America right now is more important than it has been in our whole history. I believe America's very destiny swings on what the church does or does not do right now. And guess what? That includes you. That includes me. Everyone that believes. God has given us a part in this deal. Just curious, where do you guys live? Pekin Road. And that's, you know, that's awesome, because this week we've been praying for Greenville, praying for Greenville, praying for Greenville. So I'm glad God brought y'all out this morning. Where do you live? Salem and Fredericksburg. It's awesome to have you out here this morning. Praise the Lord. So the least of you, which is probably me, the least of us has $4 million in our heavenly account. The least of us has at least one talent from God. And I'm not talking just a talent. I'm talking riches from God. And you know, the devil will do everything he can to convince you that you don't have anything to give. He'll speak to your mind, and then he'll speak to other people. And it comes down to this: whose report will you believe? Will you believe the Lord says you have a talent? Or will you believe what the enemy says, that, you know, I'm just waiting to get the glory? Waiting to get the glory, just waiting to get the glory, just waiting to get the glory. Just punching my clock every now and then. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. How did I know that? I grew up praying that every night. And God's told us, pray in this manner: Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. Praise be to your name, Jesus. Your kingdom come. Listen, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Where? Point here. Earth. I am dust. I am earth. Come to earth. Like right here, God. Germinate in me. Bring forth fruit, God. Hear from me like it is in heaven. Danny, there's no sickness in heaven. Did you know that? There's no poverty in heaven. Did you know that? There's no depression in heaven. There's no babies being abused in heaven. So your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done. Can you honestly say that to God? Your kingdom come, Lord God Almighty of heaven and earth. Your kingdom come right here, right here, right here, like it is in heaven, God. And forgive us. Say it. Forgive me my trespasses. Forgive me my sins, just like I forgive other people. Uh-oh. Or have we? Exactly. And the very, seemed like very last thing on that whole list is, and give us this day our daily bread. I guess God's just really not concerned about that, because he takes care of the birds of the air, and he takes care of the grass in the field and the flowers, and the grass withers and the flower fades. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will stand forever. Forever. So praise the Lord. The word of God dwells in you if you're a believer. That means you're going to stand forever. And that song you were singing, it'll all be, how was it? It's going to be worth it. 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 Man, I can remember days at work. It's like our Mondays. I remember Mondays. I used to go to work every day like some of y'all. I remember real good. Like, you know what? I'd like to stay home today. But there was something inside of me. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be worth it every other Thursday. You're gonna get a check, you know. How much more the kingdom of God, man? We will faithfully, I hope you faithfully go to work. Any more that don't apply so much, but faithfully, you'll faithfully go to work to receive mammon that's going to fade away, and everything it buys is going to fade away someday, but yet we won't give God an hour a day or 30 minutes a day, or we won't serve on what God has showed us to serve. He told us to be servants, and God is lifting up. Okay, I want you, y'all sit down for a minute. I'm sorry. I got you standing too quick. You know, not so much. I grew up in a Methodist church, so not so much there, but I think more, I had a buddy at work that was instrumental in me coming to Jesus, Jimmy Salzman, Baptist boy. Loved him, man. After souls, you know, he just quietly lived. He lived the Word of God in front of me. But he was a deacon. And, you know, you hear a lot of nightmares about deacons. And it's like they push buttons. They push the pastor's buttons and try to make a puppet out of him. But that's not, you know, I've been reading through all these things that God wants in place before he pours revival out. We got to be ready, like the foolish virgins. If we're not ready, we're going to be in trouble. The flood, you know, your floodgates open up and thousands of lost people come in here, and, you know, we need things in place. And one of them, I was reading, elders and deacons. And if you just read that as a religious thing, it is just a religious thing, but that's nothing what it was talking about. It says a deacon, the definition of deacon is servant. So he's raising up servants that are willing to serve him wherever they're needed. And I believe he's fixing to raise up several. And the eldership and all that, you know, and not for title's sake, but let me tell you something. There's something about when you go, okay, this is your mantle and you're anointed and you go in front of the church to do it. You know what? That puts authority on that. So be looking for these things to come into being very quickly. And like I say, it's got nothing to do with, you know, somebody pulls you over on the highway and a cop pulls you over and you go, "Deacon, Faith Harvest Assembly, you can go, sir." Not like that at all. Probably won't even have a card, you know, but I'm just saying. Yeah. Good point. Good point. I just pray as you guys be open to what God wants to do through you. You know, if you'll just answer his call, not my call, but, you know, I'm really believing that God's going to raise up, because, you know, you need altar workers, you need people that work the altars, you need people that pray with people, and you don't want to just stick anybody up here praying for people. You don't want somebody with demons to be praying for people. They'll impart demons. You want people that are living clean and holy lives. See, we got to have that. Right now, I know everybody. I know just about everybody here. Y'all are all pretty much, mostly, praise the Lord, probably much as I am. But I'm just saying, please don't look at this as a... I just want you to be prepared, because we're going to take Greenville, Indiana. And he showed me a long time ago, when this, right about the time these four winds, and there's a prophecy, I've got it written down somewhere, but he said this church would have 100-mile radius influence. And I'm figuring that would probably reach Florence, Kentucky. And I don't know if Nashville would be taken in or not, but if you draw 100, if we used to have these things in school in geometry, and you stuck it in there and you made a circumference. It's a big area. But you know, when God sent the Jews into Israel, guess what? He didn't give them all that land at once. Because he said if he did, the wild animals, and you couldn't inhabit it all, you were going to lose it, you know? So he showed me, and I haven't done this yet because I don't have a map that's that... I'm going to find one. I can probably find it on the internet. But he said, take a 1 mile circumference and just 1 mile. And he said, he told me not only will our church have a 1 mile or 100-mile radius of influence, every church that hooks up with a Highway 150 corridor, they too will have 100 miles. That covers a big chunk of the country. I am saying this sounds far out and crazy, but especially when you're sitting here looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. When you look here and go, but you got to look beyond that. You got to look at the promise. The promise is thousands. The promise is fields full of people entering into God on this hillside back here. That's the promise. The promise of revival. The promise of people getting free and healed. The promise of people getting delivered. The promise of people with incurable diseases being healed. The promise of crippled people walking. The promise of blind people seeing. It's all promises of God. Now, either you believe them or you don't. If you don't believe them, you're reading the wrong Bible, or you're not reading it at all, or you're saying it ended in the first century, which, how can I put this nicely? That's crap. There's no place where it says that it ended in the first century. It said the latter thing should be stronger than the former thing, right? Bigger. Exactly. So let's stand up. And this time, this is my third closing. Stand up. Second, I got one more. But really, seriously, I'll bet you, tell me if you know this verse, okay? Go into all the world, make disciple. Go into the world, preach the gospel. Those who believe and are baptized will be what? What? Saved. Those who believe not will be what? Damned. Say it. Damned. Damned. And these signs will follow those who believe. How many would say, I believe? I believe Jesus. Okay, then you got $4 million. You got it right here. Got it right here. $4 million. And those who believe will what? Cast out demons. Is that what it says, or am I making this up? Is that what it says? Is it truth? Is it truth for now? They'll cast out demons. Oh, only those that go through cleansing stream. No, that's not what it says. Only those that call in the guy when the girl starts spinning her head around. And so, no, it's not for the priest. It's not for the pastor. It's for those who believe. Believe what? Believe Jesus. Definition of belief. trust in, adhere to, follow. Oh, yeah, I believe Jesus. Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe Him enough to get in His path and follow Him? Exactly. Jesus will lead you somewhere. He'll lead you all the way to the cross. He'll lead you to death. But just go with Him and don't back off, you know. Those who believe will cast out devils, will speak in new tongues. If a poison snake bites them, they will not die. So I'm bringing rattlesnakes in here next week, you know. It's not what he said. You remember when Paul picked up the sticks to throw in the fire on the island of Malta? It said a viper grabbed him and started biting him. He was poison viper, and all the natives are going, he's going to die. He shook it off in the fire. Nothing happened, and the natives said, he is God. He's a God. He's a God. So, fickle people. And it says, if they're given deadly poison, it won't hurt them. It won't hurt them. It won't hurt them. I remember a guy I knew, he lived in Portland. Nothing wrong with Portland, but didn't lock his doors, didn't give a rip, you know, just went on and trusted God. He was at a party trying to minister one time, and he was drinking a Coke. Somebody put some acid in it. I think two hits of acid, they said. He drank it. Nothing happened. They're like sitting there waiting for him to start freaking out. That verse applied to him. God protected him from poison. And the last one says, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And it's not like you got a pair of dice and you're going, hope God's in a good mood today. That's not what it says. It's not what it says. It says they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Yeah, but God, I tried that before. See, when you put but in there, you've done disqualified everything God's promised you. Hey, you know what? God's got a will, but He tells me to do what's written in His Word. So if Zoe is sick, that's why, praise God, I'm thankful for technology, because now I can, some of y'all say it comes out all gobbledygook, but most of you get it okay. Now I can send a text out to 50 people without writing to 50 people. I can just boom. And Donna was sick the other day. And Donna, and y'all all prayed, and within 2 hours, God was pulling it off of her. Kristen was sick the other day. God pulled that nausea off her, and she's in church this morning. So praise the Lord. He is good, and His mercy endures forever. So I bless y'all in the name of Jesus. I bless you going out, and I bless you coming in, and I bless you with all the righteousness of God. I bless you with open doors of opportunity. I bless you to go in to places that God has shown you to go. You will not be afraid. You will fear no evil, for He is with you. You will fear no evil, for He is within you. You will fear no evil, for He will take you in the paths of righteousness. In Jesus' name, right now, you got sin in your life, and you could say, oh, well, you know, I went 37 miles an hour on the way here. I'm not talking about that. Are there things in your life that God has convicted you of, and you just seem like you cannot get victory over it? You just keep falling back into it and falling back into it and falling back into it. God wants to heal you. God wants to wash you. God wants to put your feet on the rock. If that's anybody here, just go kneel at the altar. And we will pray for you and believe with you. Don't even have to ask you what it is. God knows. But if that's you, if you're away from the Lord right now, if there's things come between you, come up here right now. If you're willing to be a laborer in the field, listen, when God shows you, and I'm praying for every one of y'all, when God shows you what to do, when you're asked to do something, God says, that's me. I just want you, if you're willing to do what God chose you to do, come up here and just make a profession to Him. Just stand here is all you got to do. But now, come on, if you're willing to obey God and do what He wants you to do, take a stand for Him. Take a stand for Him. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Lord Jesus, Lord, we are weak, but You are strong. And I thank You, Lord, that You show off Your strength in our weakness. So, Lord, bless every saint here. Bless everyone that's standing up here. Bless everyone that's not, God. I just pray for Your comfort and Your joy and Your peace and Your destiny. It's going to be worth it. It's all going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it when the King comes. It's going to be worth it when we hear that midnight cry. It's going to be worth it when the eastern sky opens up. It's going to be worth it when we take our last breath and step into eternity. It's going to be worth it. Praise the Lord. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord Jesus. Let's agree as one. Jesus. Lord Jesus, we claim back everything the enemy has stolen from us. From me, God, I claim back every promise that the enemy has tried to strip away. Lord, we stand on it. We believe it. It's not gone anywhere. It's still intact, praise the Lord. As long as we have breath, it's still intact, Lord. We claim back everything. We claim back the gifts. We claim back the talents. God, we dig up. Lord, thank You. You have not come to settle accounts yet. Lord, we take a shovel, and by faith, we dig up those talents that we put in the dirt, and we pull them out, and we dust them off, and we open up that box and say, here. Today, you're invested in the kingdom of God. Today, you're investing in the things of heaven. We claim back Greenville, Indiana, in the name of Jesus. We call Greenville, Indiana, a righteous and a holy town in the name of Jesus. We claim this 1 mile radius around this church in the name of Jesus. Bring them in, God, from the highways and the hedgerows, God. Bring in the backsliders. You know, Lord Jesus. And God, we pray over that house at the bottom of this hill and those 3 acres. We pray that that house and those 3 acres will be used for the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. And I pray for your town too, but let's start right here. Because you know the Bible says go to the Jew first and then the Gentile. I'm going to have Janet pray for Israel. Is anybody, and please don't be shy, if this is you, please, has anybody got an issue with an esophagus? Somewhere in here, isn't it? Has anybody got an issue with that? Think you're like dealing with acid reflux where you're constantly. If that's you, please, because if you don't raise your hand, we can't pray with you. Yes. That's you? That's you too? Anybody else? Because this is almost like an epidemic anymore. There's so many people dealing with that. And I don't know if it's. You too? And in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And God, we make demand on it. If there's been any poison enter their body, God, through food, through whatever, God, through their work environment, whatever that may have caused it, we also claim that in effect. The poisons will not have any ill effect on these bodies, God.
Yes. Yes, she does. Please remember to pray for Israel in your personal prayer time too, also, and lift up Karen Dunham because she's still having some attacks on her, and they stole her son's car last week, and then they put sugar in the oil of another person's car that ministers with her. So they're doing like a 24/7 praise and worship right now, and I just believe that God will arise and his enemies will be scattered in the name of Jesus. Right. So, Lord, we just pray blessings on Israel today, Lord. We just ask for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord God, even though, Lord, we know they will know no peace until the Prince of Peace returns, Lord. And, God, we lift up Karen Dunham, Lord, and her team, Lord God, and we just pray protection around them, a hedge of protection around that church, Lord God. And Lord, just strengthen her faith, Lord. She is stand firm in what she believes, Lord. And she believes that she will have the victory over this. And Lord, we just pray protection over them. And we just pray a blood covering over that whole church and every member of that church and everyone that's ministering with her right now, Lord. And let the glory of God arise in that building, Lord. The glory of God arise in that building. In the name of Yeshua, Lord. And we just pray right now for the Prime Minister Netanyahu, Lord God, that you give him much wisdom, Lord God, that he will not back down from his decision not to divide Israel, Lord, that he will not be persuaded, Lord, by our government or any other government to give up land for peace. In Yeshua's name, thank you, Lord. Amen.
We bless the new Congress and Senate. And I just bless them that they won't just be like somebody that holds back, that take a stand for righteousness. Take a stand. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Wisdom for sure. Praise the Lord. If this is you, just say, I bless Israel. So I'm blessed.